Right, this is Sunday morning, 11/13/22. The Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title is Judgment Has Begun. Okay, over the months in the teaching on the Book of Revelation, we've learned that the Book of Revelation is a spiritual book. It is like a movie through the form of visions that John had on the Isle of Patmos. There is a spiritual side and there is a natural side to what is playing out. John saw the spiritual side. What we are seeing play out is the natural side of it. So keep that in mind as I share this word with you. I was in the other teaching too. It has begun. This is the Lord. Certain events have come in line to come to this place. It's about to begin. What about to begin is the visible part of it, the outward disclosure of what I began to share with you in 3:10:20. This is what the Lord said to me in 3:10:20. The coronavirus is a cover for a military operation, taking out low-hanging fruit, the low scum that are involved in human trafficking and crimes against humanity, time to rescue the children, taking out the dumbs and taking over and absorbing the Federal Reserve, which is the beast. The angels are prepared. They stand ready to bring about the changing of the guards. Last night's election, 10/8/22, I said at the end of 21 that in 22 only the best would come to you. In 2023, the captives are being set free. Jubilee. Say that again. In 2023, the captives are being set free. Jubilee. My angels in the spirit realm will influence men and authority in the earth. This is the military and law enforcement, for they bear a sword, but they do not bear it for nothing. It has been Satan's strategy to defund this authority that bears the sword. Defund the police? Have you noticed that? Vaccinate all the military? Have you noticed that? It's too little, too late, for they have lost total control. Now heads are going to roll, literally. We already know James Comey was guillotined. All right, I'm going to read Romans 13. Starting with verse 1 there. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. There will be upheaval, but don't despair. They are running as foretold long ago. This is Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. We've had our last blood moon for a long time, Tuesday morning. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now, I'm telling you, this is what it looks like from a heavenly perspective. And in the natural, we're not seeing the same thing. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains of the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and the rocks and the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? I put here no place to hide, no place to turn. When they've got 10 countries, military, scanning the skies because they're trying to run, because they know what's coming. God's coming for them through those that he has that bear the sword. Now, it looks like the angels are doing that with their swords. That's what it talks about in the scriptures, and we're going to look at that. But that's what you're seeing in heaven. That's the spiritual part of it, because what happens in the spiritual happens in the natural too. But what you see on the earth, you see God's servants executing their authority with their badge, their gun, whatever it may be, to hunt these people down and take them to Gitmo or wherever. For after the smoke clears, all will be well. The captives will be free, and then we'll roll in my jubilee. No longer look down with a frown, but look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. The best is yet to come. My judgment has begun at the house of God first. This is 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So evidently, they do obey in some respects. Maybe just not as fully as God wanted them to. The word judgment means a decision for or against. The Lord started off this word with angels with swords. That's what I had. I want to look at a few of these scriptures that have angels with swords in them. There's not a whole bunch of them, but we're going to look at a few. The first one's in 2 Samuel. In fact, that's where the Lord started this, was 2 Samuel 24. Verse 1 there. And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of the Lord the king may see it. But why doth my Lord the king delight in this thing? No, notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host, and Joab and the captains of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. And they passed over Jordan and pitched in Aroer on the right side of the city that lieth in the midst of the river of Gad and toward Jazer. Then they came to Gilead into the land of Tatim, Hodsi, and they came to Dan, Jan, and about to Zidon, and it came to the stronghold of Tyre and to all the cities of the Hivites, the Canaanites, and they went out to the south of Judah, even to Beersheba. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee these things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thy enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in the land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord. For his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, It is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, I have sinned, I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded, and Araunah took and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. Did the people see the angel? No. They probably had corona. And Araunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt offering, sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king, gave them to the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. By the way, that is the Temple Mount. That's where the original temple stood. That place he bought. Okay. First Chronicles. It's really the same story, just a little bit different details. Verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. In the other account, it said the Lord moved on David to do that. Well, he didn't. The Lord didn't do that. Satan did. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, Go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, and I may know it. And Joab answered, The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord, the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword, and Judah was 430 and 10,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and the Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with the thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done foolishly. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years of famine, 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord beheld. And he repented him of the evil unto the angel that destroyeth it. It is enough. Stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan and the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. Now you know the rest of the story. Angels with swords. Okay, now go to Numbers 22. All right, 22:21. And Balak rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. And the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. When the ass saw the angel of the Lord, he fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. Yeah. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass and said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. It takes some people a long time, don't it, to finally wake up and realize you're going the wrong way. You're doing the wrong thing. All right. We see here that Balaam's eyes were open to see the angel standing there with the sword. Will we see angels with swords? Not sure. I guess it's possible. But we will see his authority playing out with weapons to subdue the wrongdoers. See, it's happening in heaven. It's happening in the spiritual realm, and it's happening in the natural realm. And that's why people get this book confused. This is a spiritual book. All right, including the book of Revelation. All right, Revelation 12, or 1. Revelation 1, 12. What you see in the book of Revelation, you see angels carrying out the trumpets, you know, blowing the trumpets. Unsealing, Jesus unsealing the seals. And you see the plagues at the end, the seven, carried out by angels. Are we going to see angels carrying this out? Probably not. We're going to see the military. We're going to see law enforcement. We're going to see the courts, tribunals. All right, this is Revelation 1:12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, like one unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet was like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Yeah, his mouth, a sword. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. It's the same in Revelation 19, where Jesus is on the horse and the sword out of his mouth. All right, chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars at his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience. And for my name's sake thou hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He's talking about the Nicolaitans. He's talking about Baal worship, Moloch worship, all that stuff. Right here, just a second. All right. I'm trying to find verse, just a minute. 29. Well, let me just keep reading then. And unto the angel of churches of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall come and cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful to the end, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. How are they going to take these candlesticks out if they don't do what God tells them to? The angels. Because he's talking to the angels of the churches. And of the angel of the church of Pergamos, right? He's talking to the angels. In other words, if they don't line up, then you've got permission. I think that's fixing to go down. I think it's going down. All right. Look like God's judgment, the sword coming out of Jesus' mouth. That's what it is. Here's what a sword is. A knife, a dirk, which is a bladed thrusting dagger, literally or figuratively war and judicial punishment. And then a saber. There's two instances, two different, 3162 and 4501. A saber, a cutlass, literally or figuratively. From heaven looking down, we see one thing. From heaven looking up, we see another. No one will get away with this time, for their time has come to an end, and their end is predetermined. It has begun. My angels stand at the ready with their swords drawn. All right, one more scripture, Revelation 14. Then we're going to do the Battle Hymn of the Republic. 14:14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle unto the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. But this is what you see from an earthly perspective. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. There's blood in the streets. There's no telling how much blood's already been slain. But if it's being measured, which evidently it's been measured here, how much blood? And I thought about, what are they uncovering in these factories? Blood. Massive units storing blood from the children. Just think about that. Just think about how disgusting. War of the Worlds. Yeah. All right. This hymn, I'm going to read it, just the verses here, and then we're going to sing it. All right. Right here, the Lord said, the time of restoration of the Republic has begun. And this is the battle hymn of the Republic. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. That's what I just read. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I have read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. I have read a fiery gospel written burnished rows of steel. As you deal with my contemptors, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of women crush the serpent with his heel, since my God is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. His lifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer. Him be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Okay. You ready to sing it?